Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Madnin! Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, greetings from San Francisco, where we have actually had some very cold weather, but nothing compared to what you've been going through in London, I believe.
Yeah, London's been really odd, Rohit, over the last week. We have had the most unusual cold burst of weather, and the novelty has worn off now. You know, initially there were lots of people throwing snowballs and, you know, making snowmen, etc. But the gritty business of going to work and carrying on with life with train delays, cancellations. So yeah, it's taken its toll, but I think we're around the corner now because it's got warmer. So what is the story that we're going to talk today about, Rohit?
Well, the big story really are the polls in the Northeast and the, you know, unexpected results and subsequent consequences. So what happened basically is the left got decimated. The Congress, which I believe had in the past had, you know, arrangements with regional parties, didn't do very well except in Meghalaya. But what's happened in Meghalaya too is that the BJP somehow incredibly has managed to, or is on the verge of forming a government with just having won two seats. The Congress, I think, got the largest number of seats with 21, but the regional parties didn't want to form a coalition with them. Tripura, right. It's the BJP, and that was a left stronghold. I think, let me just see. So that's basically what's happened. And what was the third state? So Tripura.
Was it Nagaland?
Nagaland, yeah. And in Nagaland as well, I think the Congress has not really been able to do much. Now, you know, what happens with Indian media pundits is that every time there is an election, based on a small or big result, they make very grand pronouncements about the future of Indian political parties, as well as create a narrative. Sure enough, the same thing is happening here. I want to just focus on, you know, one piece that Shekhar Gupta has written in the print.
Right.
And I just thought we could talk about this whole question of whether the left in India. So the title of this piece is What Polls in the Northeast Taught Us. Left is dying. Congress dozing, BJP is deft. And in fairness to Mr. Gupta, he has said that while the BJP has much to celebrate, it shouldn't overinterpret these small victories. The major test is coming in Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh. But there's a particular kind of narrative he has about the left where he talks about some historical blunders they made, like, you know, Jyoti Basu was offered the prime ministership in 96, they turned it down. The second is that they withdrew support to the UPA and joined hands with, you know, Mayawati's BSP, etc., to bring down the Manmohan Singh government. And again, the third and more recent was its arrogant refusal to build a larger alliance with the Congress. So, you know, all of this is again, you know, sort of fairly well taken. But he has this notion of the left as being, you know, these kind of elites who drink wine and eat cheese. And, you know, they are these sort of out-of-touch INGO types. And to me, that is in some ways a bit of a caricature because, you know, it's a very sort of, and Shekhar Gupta is too smart, too well-informed and just, you know, too knowledgeable a person to not know that, I think he might be allowing his own kind of distaste for a certain kind of left ideological politics to really color his judgment there. In the terms of the historical assessment of what the left has done for Indian society, my reading is that's a little bit, somewhat unfair. I would say that the one thing he does is he doesn't, you know, really pay attention to the fact that there can be a kind of ominous dimension to this, which is that, you know, the Indian population is maybe swayed by majoritarian, promises. And that the overarching ideology of the BJP is very effective for precisely that reasons, along with giving them due credit for fantastic organization, hard work, and all of that.
Look, I have read the Shekhar Gupta piece. I do not know whether in 1996 Jyoti Basu was stopped from within his own party to take on the prime ministerial position, or whether there were, we do not know. I do not know enough about it to know whether there was actually an offer on the table which Karat and his likes and the Politburo at that point pulled back. That is the popular story going around, that the Bengali prime minister didn't happen because of communist infighting, you know. But I think one of the things that I have always thought about the left movement in India was, even at its pomp, at its full pomp, which was, I think, mid-80s to mid-90s, they were always a bit part player in terms of the national politics. So it is true that there were a lot of extremist movements that were happening in different parts of the country, particularly with, tribals and people who were being removed by extractive industries. And this was in Jharkhand, this was in Madhya Pradesh. A lot of Maoist activities, extreme left activities were happening there. But my understanding, within the parliamentary context, with Kerala, West Bengal and Tripura now, those three kind of linchpins, and at some point in the Punjabs as well, there was always, the left was never more than 50 to 55 MPs put together. When you add... Oh, sorry, that's bad mathematics. At its best, it was probably about 70-odd members of parliament. But given the scale of their influence in Indian democracy, they've always been bit part players. I do not know whether that bit part happens because they are wine-drinking, cheese-loving socialists, or because they realize that they are like that student class project, which is, you know, I always think that, you know, they say very interesting, credible things, but it's actually by and large not relevant. You can make interesting noises, but you may not make it relevant. That's, again, that's a very kind of throwaway comment. What's your take on things?
Well, yeah, I agree with you on a number of things, and I'll just, mention here that in 2008, July 9th, this is an article, old article from Rediff, it says, left president withdraws support to UPA. Now, I think this was probably on the basis of, you know, India, basically Manmohan Singh, who had announced that India would approach the International Atomic Energy Agency for the safeguard agreement, the left decided to withdraw support, and they had 59 MPs. And 59 MPs is not a joke. Now, when you look at the distribution of the current, scenario in the Lok Sabha, to have 59 MPs means that you're right, that, you know, they're not a national powerhouse, but they're again not something to be, they weren't something to be underestimated. And this is barely a decade ago. So, you know, I'll mention a couple of things out here that, on the question of, nuclear power, for instance, I think the left is in the wrong. That's again just my point of view. And I think that, there's a certain kind of ideological, you know, myopia there, that they really did need to be a little more practical. I mean, there is no way in which you can, you know, you can oppose, nuclear arms. You can have a certain kind of position about, you know, nuclear power. But you really need to have a kind of clear basis for it. To me, there was a very interesting contradiction at that time. It's not as if the left has been uncritical, has not endorsed its own forms of violence. The left has had an ambivalence about what it considers legitimate political violence, even against the state. So that argument is out. On the one hand, the left, you know, has made a career talking about American or Western imperialism. On the other hand, you are opposed to the fact that what Manmohan Singh was doing was actually challenging this very unfair and unequal kind of arrangement of who gets to be a nuclear power. So what was it about is not very clear to me. The second thing is, I think that, you know, this sort of arrogance, which has taken the form of, you know, really Prakash Karat's dictatorship, one can speak, that to maintain ideological purity, we will not form an alliance. I mean, again, it just seems to sort of miss the forest for the trees. If your larger commitment is to democracy, is to secularism, is to opposing Hindu nationalism.
Well, just jumping in, yeah. Rohit, one quick question. this fellow Karad has never stood for election, never won an election.
Right.
And he does this kind of, for the last 30 years, he's been doing this kind of peripheral dadagiri, which, you know, had it led this organization of leftist parties from stem to stem, fine, boss, if you're sitting in the background and doing massive kind of world-moving thinking. But this, he's basically a nuisance, because what he has done is he's on an election winner.
Right.
He gives funders to people who win elections and how to lose elections, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
You know, I never understood why he's getting away with this kind of thing. He's like the Arsene Wenger of Indian politics. He loses all his matches, but still the guy is holding on to office.
Well, it's, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a very, very good question. Like Sitaram Yechuri, for instance, he, you know, has not been able to serve more than two terms as, you know, what is it, head of the CPIM or whatever, again, because they have this sort of internal policy that nobody can lead for more than, you know, two terms, or whatever. And again, it's, you know, Karat's hand out here. So there's an article in News 18 just today saying that after left's crushing Tripura defeat, the Yechuri versus Karat debate on alliances to heat up. So the party leaders were supporting Sitaram Yechuri's line, which is that we really need to form alliances, are going to, you know, at least get a little bit of a stronger hand. So he's this general secretary right now. Yeah, I think I got that a little wrong. I think, Yechuri was a Rajya Sabha member, and I think there was some kind of internal rule saying that, the CPM would not allow anyone to be a Rajya Sabha member for more than two terms or something like that. I might have these details wrong. But I do remember there was some, you know, kind of two-term limit. And to me, you know, they get sort of bogged down in this kind of obsessive procedural purity to their own rules against the horizon of some, you know, Lenin, Stalin, Rosa Luxemburg kind of model or understanding of this utopia to come. It's completely, completely kind of pointless. And then what you do is...
Jumping in again, Roy, sorry. The pointlessness drives... from the fact that there's something, somehow a penny drop moment for these guys haven't happened, that this is a parliamentary democracy. In parliamentary democracy, you have to have elections, and in those elections, the people who win, and win their kind of respective, nominations to parliament, whether at a state level or national level, they are the people who should be front of camera. You know, it's absolutely confounding. If this was a one-party state, if this was not a parliamentary democracy, then if you were a technocrat or a party officer in the background... So somehow my point, my two pennies worth on this kind of leftist demise in the last 10 to 12 years, is that elections and how people who fight elections are perceived has become center stage in Indian politics, whether it's Mr. Modi, whether it's Amit Shah. You know, who is the person who's front of camera for you? The person who's front of camera is the person who's going to win the election.
And Yechuri,
and Yechuri and Karat, they want to be front of camera, but they don't have the balls to run for election or elected office.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I mean, Yechuri is, you know, widely respected, and the thing is that he did not seek a third term in the Rajya Sabha, as I said, in keeping with the party norm. Now, again, the thing is that, you know, you can say that this is, you know, to maintain discipline, or this is to, you know, prevent people from like monopolizing positions and all. But, you know, the Indian populace, I think they don't really care about this. One of the things we've basically seen is that, the Indian polity at least seems to reward the impression of pugnaciousness, or pugnacity. I don't know, whatever the word is, that, you know, someone like Amit Shah, for all his being tainted with these accusations and allegations of murder, the fact that he's out there, he's on the streets, the fact that he's a fighter, that itself gets him some, you know, grudging respect even from people who are otherwise, I think, repulsed by what the man stands for. It's the same thing with Modi, right? And I think one of the problems that the Congress, the areas where the Congress fell short was that they didn't publicize what they did strongly enough. And I think it's the same case that can be made for the left. So that's why, you know, you get a position where, you know, Shekhar Gupta can make these remarks about, you know, there's, the left is too soft for JNU, you know, JNU radicals have become the face of the left. That's patently unfair to JNU, first of all. And honestly, that's, again, patently unfair also to the history of the left as a whole. if you are looking at the left, certainly be critical of them on all these grounds. But let's also not forget, you know, the ways in which they have actually contributed to Indian society and enriched Indian society. And, you know, and I think that, you know, for instance, when you read articles by even someone like Shekhar Gupta, I don't see him making this point about the RSS having collaborated with the British or having not participated in the freedom struggle. He doesn't take those pot shots at the RSS. So what does that mean? That means that in a sense, the dominant media discourse, the right has been very, very effective in controlling the terms in which they are represented. And, you know, the from a media point of view, both the Congress and the left need to at least start doing something about it. May not win you more seats, but Arre Baba, at least what you have done, why not get those facts out there?
Yeah, that's true. I think my last point on this, because we promised to kind of keep it short, and I know we've spoken at length about this, my key takeaway from this kind of left demolition in Tripura is that in the last 15 years, the electoral game plan has changed. And the left parties, for some reason, are so focused about their backroom coaching staff that they forget that the people who get parties into power are the star players. So if you're in a basketball, to use a basketball analogy, the Yechuvis and Karats of the world, and I admit, Yechuvis in the Rajya Sabha position, you know, but that's not elected office. One of the things that's really scary for me is the focus is on the coaching staff, not on the players. Yeah. Until such time that malaise is not adjusted, I think the leftist, even the kind of 60 to 75 seat leftist utopia that you had in the 80s, 90s, that's never going to come back. You will become a 10, 12 seater big part player. And if you want to do that and that's your ambition, then so be it.
Yeah, I think maybe on that note, we should wrap this up. All right. So we'll be back with another story shortly. Take care, man.
Chalo, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.